If you could stand for the reading of God's word, and this morning, and it'll be reading out of Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. It's Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And we'll read responsively this morning. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they had looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garment, and they were all affrighted. And they said unto them, "Be not affrighted, for ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they have laid him. But go your way, and tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you in Galilee, and there shall you see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly, and they fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, but by his stripes we are healed. We thank you so much for the word of God. Father, we pray that you be with the preaching of the word this morning. Be with our preacher. Help him, strengthen him today. And Father, help our hearts to be contented in listening. And Father, gathering and allowing your Holy Spirit to bring conviction upon us. If there's someone here today, Lord, that does not know your saving grace, and that you came to die for them and to love them, and that they might be rescued from the payment of sin, that they might know so today, and that they might leave this place knowing you as their personal Savior. We pray, Lord Jesus, now that you be with us, that you be with the preacher, and that all things that are said and done be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to remind you ladies that the New Christian Womanhood magazine has come out. They're on the back table. And feel free to take one. Good reading material. Very, very important in the home. Get myself a little organized here. I'm getting there. I'm going to just read a couple other scriptures here. You can follow along if you choose. But in Matthew, I'm going to use Matthew's account here. But in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18, I'm going to read a verse here. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." Of course, this was the call of the first disciples, Andrew and Peter. And Peter is basically our subject this morning, as he will be this evening. In verse number 7, I believe it is, let me turn to it, of our text, you will find our title and our text. This is our text verse. "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." You will find our title tucked in the middle of verse 7. I want to explain the significance of those two words. And I want a good hearing this morning. I really want to help you. As I was preparing for Sunday this week, I was thinking, boy, Peter is really going to get beat up this week. I'm preaching on the subject on that them two words, "and Peter," this morning. That's my title, "and Peter." And tonight I'm going to preach, "why Peter?" So Peter is kind of the subject today. I know that, and some of you are thinking, well, didn't you have time to study? Couldn't you think of somebody else? Yeah, but I know that you'll see a different view of things here from this morning to tonight, and tonight if you're here this evening. But "and Peter" is my subject. Of course, this passage deals with the resurrection of Jesus and all that took place that day. Jesus had been taken down from off the cross, was buried in a borrowed tomb. And the Bible says in this, in our passage, if you will, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, wanted to pay their respects to Jesus. And the Bible says that they bought spices to go and anoint the Savior. And as they journeyed early in the morning, they were asking each other, we'll just read it here. Let's just read verse number 3. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the sepulcher? In verse 4, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. I'm sure the stone itself was very great, but when they got there, I'm sure the very sight that they're coming upon was very great as well, as we'll talk about here in just a moment. I can see the astonishment in them as they approached the sepulcher. The stone was, just a moment ago, they were questioning, who's going to roll the stone away? They get there, and maybe they see a little glow in the tomb, and they're scratching their heads, and, you know, what's going on here, Mary? Mary, I don't know what's going on, but Mary, you know, listen, you know, you maybe see them going back and forth, but they might have saw a glow and in the tomb upon entering. But we know here also that the Bible says they saw a young man. That was an angel, if you will, sitting there clothed in a long white garment. The Bible says they were scared. They were affrighted here in this text. And this young man, this angel, this messenger from God told them, everything's all right. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. I love them, that scripture verse right there. You know what? Jesus is risen this morning. You know, we don't serve a dead Christ. He arose from the grave, you know, 3 days later. Yes, he died on the cross. Why did he die on the cross? Just to pay the penalty of our sin. And I thank God for that. I thank God that we serve a risen Savior this morning. But that's not my message this morning. This angel proceeds to tell them to go their way. Verse number 7, I'm going to read it, our text. But go your way. Here they were fearful. Now they see this long white-garbed man in there, young man, a messenger from God. And he says, go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. You know, and the angel proceeds to tell them that. And the significance of the story is that God said to tell the disciples. You see, the other 11, if you will, okay, except for Judas at this point, had betrayed Jesus. But there was 10 that stuck by Jesus. Okay, you're going to follow. Just follow me a little bit. Peter, you know, Jesus predicted that Peter was going to go ahead and deny Christ. Peter at this time, if you will, at the crucifixion, if you remember, the question this morning, why was Peter singled out? Okay, the disciples, he said, ladies, go and tell the disciples and Peter. I don't want you to forget about Peter. You see, Peter, if you go back days before at the Lord's crucifixion, you will see Peter made some drastic mistakes. A man who followed God, but he made some drastic mistakes. He had sinned against the very man he followed. He had sinned against Christ and the man that he worked for. I cannot understand this totally. I mean, here he personally worked with this Savior. He personally saw the miracles. He personally saw so much. Yet Jesus, of course, had predicted what would happen. If you recall back in Mark 14:30, Jesus said on the Mount of Olives, he told Peter, before the day's over, you're going to deny me thrice. And what Peter said in response, and also in verse number 14:30, I will not deny thee in any wise. He says, you know, Jesus, I'm not going to deny you. I love you. I'm not going to go ahead and turn my back on you. And not only will he deny Christ, now here, mind you, and by the way, this was in the Savior's darkest hours. You know, this was just before, you know, all the things are unraveling here. Judas has betrayed him. You know, when you look at it, Jesus was having a pretty bad day. Okay, things weren't going quite, you know, now Jesus knew this. Everything was unraveling according to God's plan, obviously. But you know what? Jesus, you know, he was in the garden of Gethsemane. Judas comes upon him and betrays him. You know, everything. Of course, Jesus knew all this was going to happen. He was Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, here is Peter, one of the loyal followers. You know, and Jesus predicted, you're going to go ahead and deny me. Not only will you deny Christ, you will find in process of time that Jesus was taken before the Sanhedrin, and Peter had joined himself with the wrong crowd, 14 verse 54. He warmed himself by the devil's fire there, 14 verse 54. He walked afar off. Some of that we'll talk about tonight, trying to perhaps hide himself, be a little conspicuous, if you will. 14 verse 54, he had cursed and so forth. And Peter, you know, and as a result, he'd become a fallen saint. He had backslidden, if you will, away from where God wanted him to be, from where he once was. So the words, "and Peter," are very significant to me this morning. Tells me that probably when the ladies were to go on their way and tell the disciples what had happened, and now these ladies, they wanted to pay their respect to Jesus. They were going to go ahead and embalm him, if you will, with some expensive spices. They bought some spices. They were going to go ahead and embalm him. What a sight they saw. They were scared. The young man was there. But go your way and tell the disciples and Peter. Why Peter singled out? Maybe when the ladies were going to go ahead and obey this command, go your way and go tell the disciples and Peter, maybe perhaps Peter wouldn't have been with the disciples. I have a sneaking suspicion that Peter was obviously feeling very guilty at this time. You know, and if you read, and I don't want to march into all my message tonight, but if you read very carefully, that after it was all said and done, and when he realized what he'd done, he went out and wept bitterly, the Bible says. What a load of guilt that he was carrying. And Peter, he was bearing such a load of guilt that, you know, probably, and because of his black backslidden state, you know, probably he was not going to, you know, when you're backslidden, you don't want to hang around those that want to do right. You don't just gravitate to the church crowd. You don't just gravitate with the other disciples that stood by the Lord and so forth and so on. And yes, we could go through many other sins of the disciples. Some of the disciples, I think, we'll point some of this out tonight. But some of the things, mistakes they all made. But Peter, you know, Jesus predicted you're going to deny me. And along with it, you see all the steps of his backsliding and so forth. You know, and when one is in the state of backsliding, they stay away from those who want to do right due to conviction. You know, when you're out of line with God, you start hanging around the preacher. You start hanging around the preaching. You start hanging around this Bible right here. Start reading it. Boy, it kind of convicts. Starts making you feel a little bit uncomfortable. You know, you start getting in the Word of God, and you maybe you have a tendency when you backslide and when you know you've done wrong, you kind of put a shield up, if you will, against God, against the church, against the preacher, against your fellow Christians who are living for God, who's standing for God, and so forth. You kind of have a tendency to kind of back away. A lot of it's because of conviction right here, you know, and he walked away. He walked afar off, the Bible says, and he had a tendency to be backslidden. And now we're going to talk again. I'm not going to get into my message tonight. A backslidden one will remove themselves from the very people that really love them. You know, Peter, you know, and I'm not sure where Peter was in all of this, okay? When the ladies went, did they have to go search for Peter somewhere? Was Peter with the disciples, or maybe was he in the same house or the place of disciples, but conviction kind of kept him in another room? I have really no idea at this point, but let me tell you something. I know that there had to be a load of guilt upon Peter. He was feeling mighty bad at this particular time. And a backslidden one has a tendency to remove themselves from the very people that really love them and wants to restore them. They have a tendency, you know what, the church crowd, I'm going to back away from. You know, the load of guilt that they bear is so tremendous. And whatever it may be, maybe it's some sin that you feel like you only know. But the truth of the matter is, we can't hide our sin on God. God knows exactly what sin is in your heart that you may need to get right this morning. God knows what it is. You can hide it on the preacher. You can hide it from a Sunday school teacher. You can hide it from your spouse and so forth. But you can never hide that sin on God. And the truth of the matter is, if sin not being dealt with, if you don't deal with it, you know what? That sin will grow and grow and grow and become more heavy to you, and to a point where the Word of God, as mentioned in Sunday school class this morning, the Word of God make it kind of push away. You may not even know where the Word of God is until you try to fulfill that once a week duty coming to church next week. You know, you want to get away when that sin is developed and unconfessed sin is developed. You want to get away from those who want to do right. You have a tendency to stay away from those who want to serve God. You kind of find yourself maybe from being three times a week in a church, but you back away to about two and then one, and then what happened to so-and-so? And a lot of it is simply because of unconfessed sin in our life. And you know what, Peter, I wouldn't doubt that. I don't know exactly where he was at this particular time, but the truth of the matter is, he probably wasn't with a crowd that wanted to restore him. And the truth is, my friends, this morning, if you're battling with something this morning that's kind of separating you from the right crowd, well, I plead with you, get it right and hang in with the right crowd. By the way, the church is in the ministry of restoring people. By the way, we all need to be restored from time to time. We all stumble and we all fall from time to time. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times and stays down. No, he doesn't say that. He says he riseth up again. You know what? You may stumble and you may fall. I'm going to use this. If people, I'm testing 1, 2, okay? But you may stumble. Loud enough. But you may stumble and you may fall and so forth. And you may keep falling. But you get back up and you dust yourself off. You get back up. You may get back up again along this Christian journey. And you may stumble and you may fall. And you get back up and you dust yourself off. Don't stay down. Don't stay down, because it's exactly what the devil wants. He says, hey, I got him. I got her. You know, that sin became so heavy that he couldn't get back up or she couldn't get back up. And so what happens, you leave the security of where God wants you to be. You know, there's a certain security of being in the center of the will of God. There's no safer place for me this morning than to be preaching behind this pulpit. You know why? Because I'm right where God wants me to be. And it doesn't matter what fiery darts may attack me. It doesn't matter what fiery darts may go from this way. It doesn't matter what's said or what's done. The truth of the matter is, I have safety this morning because I'm in the center of God's will. But if I have sin in my life and I decide I want to go ahead and I want to play with my sin and so forth, let me tell you something. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And even this preacher, if I'm not careful, if I don't keep my guard up against the wiles of the devil, if I'm not careful, you know what? I could let sin enter my life and I can go ahead and maybe look good for a little while and preach maybe pretty well for a little while and be eloquent for a little bit of a while. But let me tell you something. If I don't deal with it, I can start sliding away very slowly where God wants me to be. That's exactly, you know, you look at where Peter was a preacher. You know, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm preaching to me tonight, this morning. I don't know what it is. Morning somewhere. It's night somewhere. Amen? But the truth of the matter is, you know, I'm preaching to myself. But you know how much, you know, I'm robed in flesh. I can stumble. I can fall. But you know what? Let me tell you something. When I do, I thank God. I'm not boasting this morning, but I thank God that I have a relationship close enough with God that I know, boy, the Holy Spirit starts eating at me and says, Sean, you shouldn't have said that. You know, I find out pretty, you know, and even the church, you know, we all find out pretty quick that the preacher's not always perfect. I'm not. And the preacher will also find out some of you as well. Yeah, I like what was said this morning, but I heard Dr. Tom Malone used to say, great preacher. He says, you'll never find a perfect church. When you do find a perfect church, you may as well get out of it because it won't be perfect anymore. It's true. You know, for whatever reason, God allows men of God, pastors, to lead his, you know, I wish, and I tell Jesus, you could walk through them back doors. You could pastor this church anytime you like. But he so chooses not to do that. But the truth of the matter is, let's look at where we are this morning. You know, if we're not careful, you know, when we are in that state of backsliding, and it starts somewhere, but if we're in that state of kind of sliding back to where the center of God's will is, we kind of start dropping our guard. And before long, you know, that everyday Bible reading gets a little bit more casual. That everyday prayer life becomes, well, maybe once a week. And it starts getting eaten away a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit. And the truth of the matter is, folks, if we're going to survive as Christians with all the junk that's in the world today, we've got to be feasting upon this book. You know, if I'm going to have the wisdom and the grace that I need to pastor this great church, I've got to be in this book. I've got to walk with God. And the truth of the matter is, I pray for you folks, and I want you to go ahead and prosper spiritually and so forth. But if you're going to make it, and by the way, the preacher's not going to necessarily, I can't be the one to make it for you. I can pray for you. I can be what I ought to be, and I hope I lead by example. But the truth of the matter is, you know, you've got to have the same God. You've got to be feasting on the same things each and every day if you're going to make it. Boy, the devil's just, he's right there just awaiting and a ready to try to attack you at every which way.
You know what? Probably some of you here this morning, if I asked you, hey, the devil attacked you this week, or is he attacking you right now? Probably a lot of you would raise your hand right now. You're feeling a little bit of opposition, feel a little bit of struggle, and so forth, and you're just kind of hanging right in there. I don't know what to do. And let me tell you something. Let me plead with you what to do. Hey, you stick by God. You stay with God. You stay with the Word of God. You stay with the people of God. You stay with those that love you, and that will help restore you. That'll keep you. You don't want to go ahead and fall and stay down, because the truth of the matter is, then you leave the safety of the will of God. Hey, don't do it. Don't leave the safety of the will of God. And that's what Peter did. I really believe that's what Peter did. The load of guilt he was bearing was so heavy after the Savior had went to the cross, he probably realized that maybe he might have been partly responsible. You think about it. Think about that journey when they took Jesus away there in the garden, and they took him to the Sanhedrin and so forth, and all the different steps that Peter was involved in there. You know, the truth of the matter is, and when he realized that he did exactly what Jesus said he was going to do, but I can imagine when he wept bitterly, boy, you know what? Why did he weep so bitterly? Because he realized, I have sinned. You know, we ought to get back to just weeping about sin again. We get so careless, or so callous, if you will, to sin. You know, to however we treat people, however, whatever we say, whatever actions we may commit, you know what? We become so callous and was so callous that the Holy Spirit, he has tried to convict you of it, but we become so callous to sin that when he tries to convict and poke and prod, there's no feeling. Boy, you got to be very, very, very careful of being callous of sin. Boy, we need to get back to weeping over sin again. You know, whatever it is, and maybe you're here today and you know what it is. I don't know. I'm not preaching at you. The Holy Spirit might be tugging at you. Maybe there's some sin in your life right now, and you feel like there's a little bit of, you're kind of falling away from the Lord and different things. Hey, you know what? Hey, get restored today. Come back home today. Come back where it's safe today. Get it right, because you don't want the consequences. You don't want the consequences. I'm sure the load of guilt he was bearing, that's why he wept so heavily and so hard and so bitterly, it was more than he could bear. I can well imagine how discouraged and hurt Peter must have been during these days until he got the news. Now, I got thinking about this. I'm sure that Peter was discouraged. He was down. He was not himself like he was when he was serving Jesus and different things, and like he was when he was walking with God. I can imagine that when he heard all the news, Jesus is dead and so forth and all this, and he's in the tomb and so forth. I can just well imagine. I don't know where he was at this time. But I can imagine that when them ladies came and found him, they told the disciples what had happened. But I can well imagine how Peter, maybe a little bit of encouragement came when they said, well, you know, God has a message for you specifically, Peter. You know, the angel said to go to the disciples, but you know what? They also said to go to you. He also said, and Peter. I don't know whether the ladies maybe thought, because of all the things in the things that he did, whether they may have thought that he wasn't a disciple anymore. I really am not sure of that. But the truth of the matter is, I am sure of one thing. I know when I do wrong, boy, I feel sick about it. I thank God that I'm in tune enough with the Holy Spirit to know that when I do stumble and I do wrong and I may turn my head wrong, whatever the case may be, I thank God that I'm in tune enough that, boy, the Holy Spirit makes me sick about it. And I guarantee you, because Peter knows, and Peter knew what he did wrong, I guarantee he was feeling mighty sick. But just the joy, it had to been a certain joy when them ladies said, hey, Peter, I want you to know what happened today. Mary and I were going down. We wanted to pay our respects to Jesus. And we got down there, we were asking ourselves, how are we going to roll the stone away, boy, you know, and so forth. But we had these expensive spices, we were going to embalm our Savior, we just wanted to pay respects to Jesus, but we were going to go down, and boy, Peter, you know what happened? Got down there, and you know, the answer to our question, who's going to roll the stone, it was rolled away, man. It was rolled away. And let me tell you something, Peter, we were scared. We were pretty fearful at this time, but, you know, we entered into the sepulcher. We saw this glow, this light. We just wasn't sure what to expect, but we said, we just kind of entered into the sepulcher. And Peter, you know what? You know, we just told the other guys, but you know what? God wanted me to tell you too, specifically. We just told these disciples, those that had kind of stuck, you know, had stuck by the Lord. But you know what? But God had a specific message for you, and he wanted me to come tell you. And you know what, Peter? We got into that sepulcher. And we were really scared. We saw this man there. He had a long white robe on. He was garbed in white raiment and so forth. And we were shaking, if you will. We were shaking in our sandals, Peter. But you know, we got in there and he says, "Be not afraid. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. And I thank God for that." But he says, "But go your way." You see, what I want you to do is, what God wants you to do is, go tell the disciples what's going on. But go tell Peter as well. I happen to think in God's foreknowledge that, or God knew, he could just look down at Peter and see that Peter was having a tough time. Sin will have a tendency to do that. It'll catch up with you. You can go ahead and try to live through it and say, "I'm going to stick with it. God, I'll give you this, 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 and this." But let me tell you something. That one sin, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever you're hoarding, it will get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it will make you miserable. You may think, "Oh, I'm having the time of my life." No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not having the joy that God really wants to give you dealing with that sin or whatever the case may be. You can't have joy with God and live in sin. You can't do it. You cannot do it. And the truth of the matter is, I am sure and I know that Peter's joy had been robbed from him simply because of his behavior. And you know, but I happen to think, man, I don't know if he responded to the ladies this way. God wanted you to tell me. God wanted you to, I mean, he wanted you to tell me. Oh, ladies, you just don't understand. That gives me a little bit of hope. Boy, you don't understand, ladies. You know the things I've done, gals. Mary, you know what I've done. You know I've sinned. Let me tell you something, I've been so miserable. But boy, it sure is good to know that God wanted you to tell me about what happened. Boy, it sure does show that he really does love me. It does. It really does show that he really does care for me and that he hasn't forgotten me. I'll tell you something. Go as deep as you want in your sin. You can walk away as far away as you think you can away from God. But you can never get so far away from God that he won't accept you back. You never can. You may have been saved for years and you're feeling hard-hearted and you're maybe working your way away from God. Let me tell you something. And you may think you're having fun doing it. But let me tell you something. I know that you can not have real joy and live in known sin. And the truth of the matter, you may go ahead and wander as far away from the hand of God as possible. But let me tell you something. God's hand is mighty long. I mean, you can go ahead and go miles and miles. You can go from as far as the east is to the west. You know what? God can extend his arm there to you and say, "I want you back." Doesn't matter where you are this morning, my friend. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you said or where you've been going or what you've been doing. Let me tell you something. God loves you unconditionally. I thank God for that. And Peter. You know, I'll give a personal illustration. I was called to preach at 16 years old. I went to Christian school in high school, and I thank God for Christian school. But I was sitting in chapel, and I remember a missionary got up. A missionary was coming through, and he preached in chapel. He's talking about the will of God. He had two signs up there. One said yield, and one said yield not. You know, and he was saying all the benefits of yielding to the will of God, and he was pointing out all the great things about it, and then all the struggles if you don't yield to him. And at that time, boy, I remember just as plain as day, missionary Paul Fisher, he is a missionary even to this day in Japan. And I remember to this day, you know, the Holy Spirit was just working in me, saying, Sean, I want you to go into full-time Christian service. I let him call me Sean. But I want you to go into full-time Christian service. And I thought, God, me? I'm a farm boy, man. I had my, and believe me, I had my agenda all set. I was going to graduate from high school. I was going to go to University of Maine, take some agriculture courses, and I was going to go ahead and take over my dad's farm. That's exactly what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to do, but God thought different. God thought it different. But in all of that, you know, I remember yielding myself, said, okay, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Full-time service, I'll do it. I remember 16 years old. I remember just as plain as day. Make a long story short, I graduated at 18, but it took me 10 years to actually get into the ministry. It shouldn't have taken that long. And a lot of it was simply because, and by the way, I wasn't in any deep sin. I mean, I was in church. I'd gone off to Bible college 1 year after I graduated, but, you know, I just was not very stable. I'll admit it, I was very unstable. I was very unstable about my thought, you know, and the Lord, or not the Lord, but myself, if you will, was planning ideas about starting a business, and I had some opportunities come my way. And by the way, the devil will throw good things at you to try to deter you from where God wants you to be. He really will. And you know, and so forth, and, you know, and so I was very unstable, to be honest with you. And it got to a point where, you know, I was married at a very young age. I was 20. My wife was 18. And I thank God I found her, and I thank God for my wife. I just want to plug that in. But the truth is, I was very unstable, and it really hurt our marriage during them years. You know, I'd go to college, and then I'd move back home, and things wouldn't quite go the way I thought they should go. Say, well, God, I mean, you want me to be a preacher? It should be a little bit better than that. You know, what God was trying to show me is some character and grit. Finally, I got it. Finally, I grew up at 25. And at 25, I said, I just headed to Bible college. I was married. I had three kids. And I'm not going to tell you all the situation at that time, but I was married. I had three kids. And boy, the devil was working that summer. He was sending me back to Bible. He was working. Boy, he was doing everything he could to keep my little baby boy, Cody, was very sick. The doctor said, you shouldn't go. I said, I got to go to college. The truth of the matter is, we got to college, had some ups and downs and so forth. Let me tell you something, all of it taught me how to have a little bit of grit. You know, I kind of liken myself to Peter because through that time, going back and forth with the will of God, should I, shouldn't I? Boy, I got good opportunities here, boom, boom, you know. Through that time, I remember one stint of us going to Bible college. This was 92. We went back, my wife and I. We only had one child at that time. And things just didn't seem to line up really well. And I remember, in the truth of it, I'll tell you why they didn't line up. I just wasn't close to my God. I'll be just point blank. I wasn't close to my God. You know, the Bible says my God will supply all my needs, and he would have at that time had I been really close to him. I'll admit that. I remember going back. I went back to my home church, Calvary Baptist Church, and I was just discouraged. I'd been sick. I was, and I just believed the sickness was of God. I was so sick. I had this abdominal pain, many different things that caused, I'm going home. I'm just going to forget about this college thing. I'm going home, and I'll just settle in church. So I went back home. I went back to Calvary. That's my home church. But let me tell you something. That Wednesday night, first Wednesday night back, first service, I was scared to death to pull into that parking lot. I was afraid, what are people going to think? They've seen, I mean, this church has already known me to go back and forth, back and forth. They've seen it. And all they're going to do is think, this guy's a loser. This guy's a quitter. That's what I thought. I thought, you know, they're going to think, man, you know, it was just the opposite. I had people flood out them doors, literally, and come out and say, Sean, it's good to see you. I had some of the men, man, it's good to see you. Welcome my family back. And I thought, man, you know, you don't understand, you know. And I was lower than this floor. I was so low. I was so very discouraged. But the truth of the matter is, I felt like Peter did. Peter was low. No doubt he was discouraged. No doubt he had the same, I had the same thoughts as he, you know, God can't, you, why would God call me? Why would even God call me to be a disciple? Why would, you know, I cursed him, I denied him. Why would God even want to use me? And I can guarantee you, up until that news came to him, he was feeling mighty low and very discouraged about the sin. And I know I was that low. I remember going to my preacher before the service, and I said, Pastor, I need to talk to you after the service. He says, yeah. I remember going into his office, and just about the time we got in there, I just started weeping. Weeping bitterly, literally. I just wept. I couldn't say a word. My preacher just stood there and just said, just let it out. Just let it out. And I did. And I said all the same words that maybe Peter was saying, and I don't know whether Peter said them, but I'm sure he thought it. Preacher, why would God ever want to use me? I have quit countless times. He supposedly called me to preach, and I've quit on him. Why would God ever want to use me? I'm useless. I said all these words. I can't be used. I'm a big loser. I said it all. He says, stop. He says, what we're going to do from here on, we're going to pick yourself back up. I want to do what every preacher, I think, ought to do, the very best they can. He says, I'm going to help you, Sean, get out of this. We had some financial difficulties as a result of all the moving and different things that went on. And I had some medical bills and different things. My wife and I, will be honest with you, I mean, it was hard on us. Very, very difficult. He says, after I wept, after I was crying, he says, would you go to the restroom? I want you to wash off your face and let's get back in here and let's talk. I'll never forget him pointing his finger. He says, from here on, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to get out of this. I want you to be here Sunday morning. I've got a Sunday school class for you to take. I know you can take it. I want you to start reading your Bible. I want you to start praying. Let me tell you something. You go ahead and you follow this simple little remedy. You're going to start seeing God doing some things. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? When I started doing that, it's a no-brainer. Boy, it's amazing how peppy I started to feel. I remember going in that first Sunday because I went home. I started reading my Bible again. Started praying again. Started getting my family, my wife, and little Courtney at that time, really into the things of God again. And preacher, you know, I remember coming in that next Sunday morning, shook, hey, Sean, how you doing? I said, preacher, I've never felt better. Or it's been a long time since I felt this good. He says, you just keep on keeping on. You just keep on keeping on. Now, the message is this. You know what? Let me just say, the message is this. And Peter. What was God demonstrating to Peter? Number one, God was telling Peter, he wants Peter to know that he still loved him regardless of what Peter had done. He still belongs to God. That them two words, and Peter. Now, mind you, think of the mindset of Peter and so forth. Go tell the disciples and Peter, and God says, hey, I want you, you know what, I'll tell you what I'm demonstrating with these words. I'm telling you, you know, this is why I believe totally. This is why I want you to go ahead and tell Peter specifically what had happened, because I want Peter to understand that I still love him regardless of what he did or what he ever did. I still love you, Peter. You know, the Bible says in John 10, 28 and 29, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Same, similar verse, my Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Hey, let me tell you something. I thank God that even when I was in the lowest of low, I could have gone as far away from God as possible, but I was still in his hand. He was, he's got a mighty big hand. All of you this morning, if you're a child of God, you know what? You're in his hand, and no matter where you go, where you head, you no matter how far you run from him, you know, you're still there. He's still got you right there, and nobody, the devil can't, your so-called friends can't, the people that mock you can't. Hey, you know what? Nobody can take you out of his hand. Talk about security. Talk about your salvation being secure. You know, people, I don't understand this. Once you get saved or you ask Jesus to come into your heart, then you're not saved anymore when you sin? No, that's hogwash. And I'm not, and by the way, that's not a ticket to sin. We ought to be growing. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, I've been saved several times, but you know what? I said this word or I did this action or whatever the case may be. I'm not saved anymore. No. That's not how God works. That's not at all how God works. That verse, them verses right there, prove it. When you get saved, you're placed in the palm of his hand. And no, we're not. And by the way, when you get saved, you're not perfect. We've still got this robe of flesh. The old devil go ahead and still kind of poke at you and poke at you and poke at you. Try to get, you know what? You know, the devil knows he can't get your soul if you're saved this morning, but he wants to do everything in his power to make your life displeasing to God. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter. You know, there's some of you, you're right on track this morning. You are right on track. You're walking with God, and you're right where God wants you to be. But maybe there's some here today. You know what? You're kind of veering off. Slow but sure. No, it won't be long, you know. Yeah, 3 times a week, I read my Bible. I'm in church every single time the doors are open. I read my Bible every day. I pray. Hey, that's where you were, and that's where the security was. But something happened. I don't know what it was. You know, but something got your ear. Somebody said something. I don't know what the case may be, but very slow but sure. That joy that you had, that joy unspeakable and full of glory that you had when you're in the center of God's will, it's not there. You just kind of, I read my Bible 7 days a week, but how many is it now? 4, 3, 2, 1. And you're very slow. And you know in your heart, maybe, you know, you might be the one that you're on track and preacher, I need to reset the button today. I'm going to stay on track. I don't want to slide away from God's perfect will. I want to be right where God wants me to be. But there might be some of you here today. You're on that journey. You've just left. You're on that journey, or you're over here and you're miserable. Let me tell you something. Play around with all the world that you want. And you will lose the joy that God wants you to have when you're right here. But be reminded of this. Doesn't matter what you say, what you do, doesn't matter when you leave the will of God, you're never out of his hand. You know what God was saying to Peter and Peter? He was saying, I love you. It doesn't matter what you did, Peter. I want you to know I love you. I love you, Peter. I still got you in my hand. You're here today. Maybe you're feeling miserable. Maybe there's some sin in your life that needs to be confessed. You know what? You can't have that true joy that's unspeakable and have and live with that sin. You can't. Hey, you know what? God is saying to Peter, and God is saying to you, I love you, and you belong to me. I still have hold on you. Don't let the devil tell you that you've blown it and that God doesn't want you. Don't let him go ahead and say, well, you went ahead. Yeah, you used to do this. You know what? But you don't do that anymore. God doesn't want you. Don't let the devil go ahead and blow that in your ear. Hey, maybe you're dealing with sin. Confess it and move on and do something great for God. By the way, we'll see in just a moment that Peter did. Give you a little bit of review, preview, if you will. He loves you, and nothing can separate his love for you. Let me read this. I love this scripture. In Romans chapter 8, you can turn to it if you'd like. I love this, and I have fled to this verse often, recently, and just often. Romans chapter 8. Paul's writing, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from what? Say it. The love of God. you know what, there's nothing. Maybe you're backslidden today, maybe you're out of the will of God, I don't know, but there's nothing, my friend, that can separate you from the love of God. Hey, Peter, I want you to know, it doesn't matter what you did, I love you. I love you. Number two, and Peter demonstrates to me that it shows that God's care for him. You're sheltered safe in the arms of God. Peter, maybe your sin may have distanced you from others causing them maybe not to care. But Peter, hey, you know what? This is what God's saying to Peter. Peter, I still do. You may have, you know, maybe your sin, maybe people have kind of, hey, you know what? Peter did that. I'm going to go ahead and hold it. I'm going to back away. But you know what? Doesn't matter what people think. You know, I still care for you. Peter, I still care. Doesn't matter what they say. Hey, I still care. Others may not care if you get restored, but Peter, I do. Maybe you're here today and you're broken. Maybe you're here today. Let me just say this, and I'm giving you all my heart here. I hope you know it. I'm giving you all my heart. Maybe you're here and you're broken this morning. You know, I care about you. I care that whether or not you get restored. I don't want you to stay down. I'll do everything I can as your preacher, as a man of God, to lift, reach down and pick you up, because I want you restored, and I want you to be loved, and I want you to be cared for. Hey, you know what? God was telling Peter, hey, Peter, it doesn't matter. Maybe people don't want you to be restored, but I want you restored, Peter. I want to use you again. Others may have turned your back on you, Peter, but not me. Others may have given up on you, Peter, but I have not. We ought not ever be the kind of church that stops caring for people. We ought not ever be the kind of Christian that stops caring for people. We ought not turn our back on those who may have committed sin. They can still be restored and used. Maybe, you know, sin may not cause one that needs to be restored to be used to where they could have been, to the extent of where they could have been, but let me tell you something. God can still use them. God can still use a marred vessel. God can still use a broken person. You know, by the way, you may be here today and you're broken. People will say, well, I'm broken, I'm hurting, I'm marred and so forth. You may be broken. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. That just means that God just needs to, you need to allow God to do a little bit of surgery. Take his loving hands upon you, the potter. His loving hands upon you and make you and reform you and reshape you so that you can be used again. Hey, you know what? God, I think, was telling Peter that I love you and that I care for you. And then number three, and Peter, them two words, it demonstrates God's forgiveness. We preached about it last week, Ephesians 4:32. I love that verse. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's a tough one. As God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Boy, that's tough. Boy, every time I study and look at that verse, boy, that one's... You know, if I could ever be one to change a Bible, and I am not, I'll make that real clear. Let me say this, that'd be a verse, God, could I tweak that one a little bit? Of course, I never can, by the way, and I never will. But the truth is, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God. Now, I don't know how others treated Peter after that. I'm really not sure, to be honest with you. Didn't take time to really study on that, to be honest with you, at this moment. But I have seen when a key figure or anybody does a little bit of, looks wrong or does something that, oh, well, they shouldn't have ever done that. I've seen that people automatically say, whoa. And they'll run to the preacher. Well, did you hear about so? No, I don't know. I don't hear. You know, I really don't. You know, if we get so busy talking about other people, you know, and so I really don't want to hear it. Let them come talk to me. That's how I look at it. You know, people, you know, whatever the case may be, but you know, people say, well, you don't understand. You don't understand. Maybe a key figure, a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, or whatever the case may be, or whoever, maybe a parent, whatever the case may be, you know what, you're looked up to and so forth, and maybe they did something wrong, whatever the case may be, and so you kind of automatically distance yourself. And I don't know, I have a feeling maybe that might have happened here. Maybe to some degree that happened here. You know, people distancing themselves from Peter. When the truth of the matter is, I'm going to read this verse, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, this is what we're supposed to do. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, the truth of the matter is, instead of going ahead and kicking them in the shit, you are no good. You can't teach Sunday school. You know, you blew it. You used to be, instead of doing that, why don't we go down? Daniel, would you come up here a minute? Use him as a little illustration. Come over here. I'll try not to hurt you. But here was a once spiritual man. And I think he still is. He's playing along with me right now. He was a once spiritual man. Came to church every week. Read his Bible. Went soul winning. Did everything that a godly young man should do. But something happened. You know, he kind of blew it. Something. Maybe he's cussed. Maybe he did some of these things Peter did. I don't know. So, yeah. I used to be close to him. Get out of here, man. Loser! You're no good. The real spirit, the real spiritual people. This is, now, I'm talking from the real spiritual ones. Well, you're no good, and you kind of kick him in the shins, and kind of fall down a little bit. Okay, play along with me. Stay down a minute. Here's what we're supposed to do. Read that verse, Galatians 6:2. Study it out later on. Hey, my brother, I want you to know something. I'm praying for you. Pastor, you don't understand. I was respect. Yeah, that's okay. We're going to earn that. We're going to gain that respect back again. I'm praying for you. I love you. I've been praying for you. You know, I want to help you out. Will you let me help you out? I want to pick you up. You pray with him. He say, hey buddy, I want you to come in my office. I want to meet with you once a week. Now, as a matter of fact, we're gonna go to McDonald's. He's gonna hold me to this now. I just want to hang out with you a little bit. You know, I want to help you. You understand that, don't you? Because I care. That's where Christianity's supposed to be. That's the kind of church we're supposed to be, my friends. And let me say this, it doesn't matter where you are this morning. It doesn't matter what, you might be far away or you might be right here. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God loves you. God cares for you. And you know what? Hey, Peter, I forgive you. Yeah. I know you denied me and her. Remember when I walked by you and I gave you that look? You know, at that time when they were actually going to take me to the cross and you went out after that and you wept bitterly. You hurt me there, Peter. I know you did. But you know what? I want you to know I love you. I care for you. You know, I forgive you. I forgive you. You may be seated. That's what Christianity is all about. You may be here today. I don't know where you are spiritually. And it doesn't matter. Let me just say this. As your pastor, wherever you are spiritually, you know what? I want you to know I have breathed your name in prayer all week this week. Doesn't matter whether you're sitting in this room. Well, some of you visitors, I don't know you, but let me tell you something, but I prayed for you. Let me just say this, more important than that. Doesn't matter where you are, but you can never leave the hand of God. And Peter. Hey, Mary! Mary! Quite contrary. No, anyways. Mary! Mary! Don't be scared. I want you to go your way. Tell the disciples what you've seen here. But you know what? You need to tell Peter. You got to tell him. I think he needs to hear what you ladies are going to say. And you know what, Christians? There may be someone here today that needs an encouraging word from you. Instead of, I want you to get that right and say, hey, you know what, my friend? I'm not going to go ahead and turn my back on you. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to love you. Maybe you're here today, I don't know where you are spiritually. Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Boy, this would be a great day to become a child of God. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Maybe you're here today, you've got that empty feeling. Jesus is not living in you this morning. You know what? Jesus died on the cross for you. Why did he die on the cross? He died on the cross to pay for our sin. We're all born sinners. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, we're all born sinners. For all have sinned, the Bible says. God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, maybe you're here today. You don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You're not a child of God. In just a moment, boy, you ought to step out and you ought to come shake my hand and say, preacher, I want to be God's child. I want to be saved this morning. I want my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we'll have someone show you from the precious words of God, the precious word of God, how you can become a child of God this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I encourage you, and just after a little while, you take that first step and come. And let's show you. And become a become part of the family of God. Hey, there's no great no better family like it. There really isn't. There's nothing better than being a child of God and knowing I'm in his hand. But you know, there's some of you today, Christian, my friend, I love you. But you know where you are spiritually. Maybe you are under the protection of the will of God. But maybe you're here today and you're far away from him. Why don't you just say, you know what, why don't you decide to, I'm going to come home. Kind of like that prodigal son, he came to himself. I'm going to come home. Our Heavenly Father, sure to love you and Peter. God, I thank you for this thought. I thank you, God, that you singled Peter out. You taught me a lesson this week. I thank you, God, for this truth. I happen to think Peter was probably not on top side at this time. And I pray, dear God, that whatever position that maybe a Christian's in today, they're saved, they're on their way to heaven. But maybe they've wandered far away from you. And they decide today, I'm coming home. I'm going to be where I ought to be. I'm going to get under the shelter of God's hand. I'm going to be under in the center of God's will where I'm protected. But irregardless, it doesn't matter how far we as Christians want to run from you. I thank God for that promise. We're in your hand, irregardless. And you're there. And God, whatever needs to be dealt with today, Holy Spirit, I pray whatever heartache, whatever situation, whatever position spiritually that needs to be fixed or dealt with today, that on the first note of the invitation, they'll come forward and get it right. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here, they don't know you as personal Savior. Won't today be the day of salvation for them? Convict their heart, Holy Spirit, and may they make today the day that they become your child. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. No one's looking around. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The pianist's going to play, I Surrender All. And on that first note, maybe you're saved this morning. Maybe you got some things you got to deal with. Why don't you deal with it this morning? Maybe you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Won't you make that today, that day of salvation? Pianist's going to play.
In obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior,
come right this way.
No, come right this way. In obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior, and upon